A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
Yours is number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 348. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about solid geometry. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
So we are talking about this one-off TV play, Solid Geometry, from both ITV and Channel 4. It was a co-production, went out in 2002. It was a short TV broadcast, only about 25 minutes long, with quite an impressive cast, including Ewan McGregor. And it was directed by Dennis Lawson, who we know better as an actor, but is also a very well-known person in British drama.
And, of course, based on a short story by the Man Booker Prize-winning Ian McEwan, one of the great novelists of the UK at the moment. But this is based on a short story from quite early on, 1975, I think, was the collection we talked about last time.
Yes, and I think the fact that the story itself that it's based on is quite a bit older is an interesting point that plays into things.
So last time we discussed how Phil, this young advertising executive, becomes obsessed with the diaries of his great-great-grandfather Patrick Murray. He uses a £25,000 bequest from his father to give up his job and work on this project that he's inspired to from the diaries. And he becomes fascinated with his great-great-grandfather's work. And this man who was obsessed with the relationship between geometry, consciousness, and sexuality. That's where this sort of takes Phil in the early part of this TV play.
Yes, and this obsession disrupts Phil's relationship with his wife, Maisie. And this is another major thread of what's going on, in addition to the obsession about this geometry from Phil's great-great-grandfather, there is also the relationship. And he seems to ignore Maisie's concerns about her strange dreams and her desire to potentially give up her job and work for an environmental agency. The communication between the two of them is clearly breaking down, and the disagreements are potentially bordering on domestic abuse at one point.
Yes, unfortunately, for this short play, it does feature a few unpleasant moments, but one extremely unpleasant moment of sort of physical violence, which is unfortunate. People should be content note awareness of, I think.
Yes, there are definitely things that made us uncomfortable here.
And of course, we've also mentioned how the narration of the diaries gives us these flashback sequences to Patrick Murray meeting with this strange mathematician, Dr. Voss, who in turn is presenting his strange theories about geometry and solid objects to a sort of very late Victorian, early Edwardian, I guess, scientific society. It's filmed in a sort of a library room, lots of sort of oak paneling and big table, that sort of thing. And Dr. Voss performs a practical demonstration with rather amazing results in this flashback sequence. All to do with, let's get to it, it's all to do with folding paper into a certain geometric shape, Brian. Something that's never, not too clearly defined for us in the show, but we know that's what they were working on, folding paper in certain shapes with remarkable results.
Yes, we essentially see origami as the representation of this mathematical geometric work, and where it goes into things that are unusual and the science fiction elements are what these geometric figures can do in the real world and how they can sort of bend and change reality.
So, if you're intrigued, that's the mystery at the heart of this show. Now, we talked last time about some other one-off TV plays that this sort of reminded us of. We're in the early 2000s. Possibly for budgetary reasons, the flat that they live in, the decor is very plain and white and bland, I thought, Brian. And in doing so, it sort of reminded me of a similarly austere-looking TV play that we've already talked about.
Yes, and that has to be Random Quest, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
Which was a 2006 production we covered in British Invaders 127 and 128. It was also based on a short story, but in that case, based on a John Wyndham short story, also dealing with reality being changed and divided, more of a parallel universe kind of way in that case, but some things that are a little bit reminiscent there.
Yes, yeah, so slightly more, you know, I'm giving away some stuff now, but slightly more satisfying story in a way in Random Quest. But yeah, interesting.
Yes, and that was a little bit longer, and it was based on a very different short story. But yeah, that was something that was a little more story-driven and more traditionally science fiction. We mentioned that our listeners, Allison and Nick, had suggested Solid Geometry, which we're looking at now. They also mentioned a TV play of Home, which was a J.G. Ballard short story from 2003, starring Anthony Scher. So that's one that maybe we'll look at some point. But that is another one of these one-off adaptations from a similar era. So it's nice to see that there were a number of things like that being done in the early 2000s.
Yes, and it just seems like a slightly different trend in television compared with some of the 20th century TV plays that we've looked at based on more sort of traditional period pieces like H.G. Wells's First Men in the Moon, or even, of course, Orwell's 1984 from the BBC, Rudolf Cartier and Nigel Gneal in 1954. I don't have to go too many episodes before I bring that one up, do I, Brian?
That's right, yes.
And it just, you know, although it doesn't use the same futuristic architecture that they found for that Random Quest production, something, I guess it's the white walls of the flat, the sort of minimalist approach to decor that reminded me of it somehow. I seem to remember there was a very sort of like modernist white glass and steel house in Random Quest, and maybe that's the link that I'm seeing.
Yeah, the emphasis on the blank white walls, and I think the lighting as well, sort of emphasizing it for that kind of stark feeling.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There's a few of these plays. We may get to do Home at some point in the future. We'll see. But yeah, that's what some of the thoughts that occurred to me while I was watching Solid Geometry.
So I think we should get more into some of our own thoughts and what we thought about this production. So, Eamon, what did you like about Solid Geometry?
Well, let's start with the cast and crew, as it were. Let's start with Ian McEwan as the writer, Dennis Lawson adapting and directing, and then a sort of, you know, a small cast, but notables, Ewan McGregor, Ruth Miller, and Peter Capaldi. So, I couldn't deny the talent that's involved in this 25-minute TV play from 2002. And it certainly, you know, that will affect some of the stuff we're going to talk about now, about the pluses and minuses. What about yourself? What did you sort of have in the pro column, first of all?
I did like the performances. I think they were very committed and some very good performers here, for sure. I also like the direction a lot. I think Dennis Lawson, as you would with a short film often, used this as a technique piece and did some interesting things with the camera work and the lighting and sort of the editing of club scenes and the like, with putting a lot of these ideas and a lot of this imagery, making it very vivid in this quite short production. He used the amount of time very well to do something sort of original and interesting with the visuals. So that was something I also quite liked.
And of course, it must have been a bit of a challenge as to how do you direct a play in which a large part of it is spent with one man reading diaries or making mathematical drawings on paper with pencil, ruler, compasses and set squares and so on. So, yes, he did have to use some interesting techniques, some camera moves, the flashback sequences, I suppose, the voiceover, all to make this process of Phil's obsession interesting to look at.
Yes, he did make it a very high energy production, and I think that was something that worked in its favor. I think that was done well. The other thing I would say was definitely done quite well was how they showed us these geometric theories and we saw the folding paper and the diagrams. I think the way of communicating that this very abstract thing is very powerful and very much something that is a point of obsession, and then that it's something that has this very real and very strange impact on the physical world and on reality. I think the way that that was told and represented was quite well done.
Yes, it was. Interesting stuff. And of course, we got, you know, as you say, Ewan McGregor doing great stuff. He's always good to watch on screen. Ruth Miller, I thought, was good, although possibly not given much to do in this rather short play. So, yeah, there was certainly some energy. It started very energetically in the club sequences, of course, lots of sort of dancing and rave music and so on. And then, of course, it does slightly possibly bog down with this one chap becoming obsessed in his flat and then ignoring his relationship with his wife for the sake of these diaries and this mathematical puzzle.
Yes. And I think getting a little more into negatives, this is a story that probably works better as a short story. Unfortunately have not read it, but it has the central ideas of the geometry and the obsession with the geometry and, you know, turning into these real world strange things, and then the relationship suffering because of it. And as a dramatic production, that didn't give us a lot of story.
It is slightly puzzling. You know, as you say, it does feel very much like a literary short story. And Maisie, you know, the wife is given some problems of her own and going on. We get her talking about some strange dreams that she's having, which Phil just completely ignores because he's still reading the diaries at the same time. So, I mean, that did feel a little bit like a short story device. Just give one of the other characters something else going on, but you don't have to resolve it or explain it. And, of course, it all comes down to this central paper-folding mathematical problem at the centre of it, which actually I couldn't see the interest or the fascination in myself. And I did begin to wonder what this film was trying to tell us. Was it trying to tell us that becoming obsessed with your great-great-grandfather's diaries and a giant preserved penis in a jar was a bad thing? Because we could probably figure that out, I'd have thought, Brian.
Yeah, it was a little bit strange in where it was going with that. I also have to call it out for misogyny, because it was not just Phil who treats his wife poorly. It was sort of the story itself doing that. And where it leads in the ending was really sort of done at her expense, and it was his success at her expense, and I felt that was not great, and I think quite misogynist. And this comes back to it being a short story from over 40 years ago and things having a different representation in short story that didn't quite translate in some ways, I think. But the way that it was structured and what it did was quite unfortunate, I thought.
Yes, I would agree. Poor Maisie, who is neglected by Phil, at one point sort of like physically attacked by Phil, although she has also sort of sort of done similar to him. And then at the end of the play, he reconnects with her in a sort of tender moment. But actually, it seems like, or, you know, one possible interpretation is that he's only doing that as part of his experiment, in order to see what will happen. So that the sort of the way poor Maisie is handled by this this story, I guess, is a bit strange and unfortunate to look at now. And it does make me think about those comments that Ian McEwan said about his science fiction novel last year about, you know, human dilemmas. I suppose it sort of presents a couple of human dilemmas, but doesn't seem to say anything about them or tell us any sort of resolution. It just sort of puts them there on screen and then it ends, basically, very quickly.
Yeah, and with a very strange result that is not a positive one for the woman involved. So very, very odd.
Yes. And of course, there is the other problem in the negatives that we've said last time, Brian, which is the fact that it's no longer actually available to buy, it seems. You can get it secondhand, but the limited appearance of the actual official DVD set has gone. So that is unfortunately another negative. As I say, when we put it on our list, it was available and I bought it, and here it is. But sadly now you can't find new copies through any of the online stores.
Yes, and the used copies are a little bit expensive for something as short as this.
Yes.
But that does happen sometimes, that when we decide on something well over a year before we're recording and then releasing, that availability can change sometimes. But usually, at least you have used copies like this that are floating around for some level of availability. So I think we should get to our recommendations now. Would you like to start this one, Eamon?
Indeed. I think, unfortunately, listeners know where we're going with this one, Brian. I think the fact that it's no longer available means that I can't recommend Solid Geometry. It is short. It felt very slight. It's got some problematical aspects to it. If it was available on streaming, I might say a cautious have a look. But as it's not, I'm going to say I can't recommend it. What about yourself?
Well, I did like the performances and the directorial technique, but it doesn't stand up well as a production or a story. And the problematic and misogynist things we've mentioned really sort of, you know, ruined it for me altogether. So I can't recommend this.
Which is unfortunate. But then again, if you think we've got it wrong on Solid Geometry, do please get in touch by email or come into the Facebook group and let us know.
Absolutely. So, in summary, Solid Geometry introduced us to Phil and Maisie, this couple who met and soon got married, both involved in a very wild lifestyle with lots of parties and sex and drugs and so on. And when Phil receives this box of things from his great-great-grandfather, he learns about this strange thing in geometry that has all sorts of odd implications, including the ability to alter reality itself. And we see his growing obsession with this, and we see Maisie's own problems and the problems in their relationship and it breaking down. And this leads to a very strange conclusion indeed.
Interesting show, and thank you for the suggestion. And please come back and join us next time when we're taking our yearly spin-off from a TV show into a different medium. We are donning our gaming, or sitting in our gaming chairs, I guess, Brian, as we look at the 1984 text-based adventure computer game based on The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. That's going to be an interesting challenge for us, Brian.
Yes, indeed. And we know that the text adventure from Infocom was not directly based on the television show, but they were all of these 1980s Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy productions were closely interconnected. So we thought this was a good way to revisit that world.
Indeed.
Yeah, it should be a fun one to cover for sure. Until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com, or you can search for British Invaders on Facebook and find our Facebook group where we have lots of good discussions going on there.
Also, look out for the Voice of Geeks Network, which you can find at VogueNetwork.com, where you'll find British Invaders as one of the members and a few shows about gaming.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.